Let me begin by telling just a small story. There was a man who died and he entered into the portals of heaven. After having been there for some time, he went up to the Father and he asked him, "Father, is there somewhere that you store the record of everything that individuals have done?" Father looks at him and he says, "Yes, son, there is such a place." And he says, "Well, is there a book there that contains the record of everything that I did for you?" He says, "Yes, there is." He says, "Would you mind if I look at that?" The father says, "That'll be fine." They enter into a huge library. Books. Not just hundreds, not just thousands, but millions of books. Down a long corridor they go. They enter into a special room. The father walks over and he picks out one of the books. And he hands it to this individual and he says, "This is the record of all of your deeds that you did for me." The man takes the book and he opens it. He looks through it, reads some of the things that are in there. A big smile comes across his face. And he is so happy because of everything that he had done for God. He closes the book. He hands it back to the father. The father places the book upon the shelf. And he says, "Now I need to take you to another library." So off they go, they enter into another library, and it too is just as huge as can be. Millions of books again. Down a long corridor they go, and finally they enter into another room, and the father goes over to a shelf and pulls out a book double the size of the first one. And he hands it to the gentleman, and as he looks at it, he sees that his name is written upon this book as well. And he says, "Father, I'm confused. You said that you showed me the book already of all the works that I have done. What then is this book?" He says, "This is the book of your potential. This is the book that shows what you could have done if you had used all of the talents and all of the abilities that I had truly given unto you." My friends, God has blessed every one of us in this audience with marvelous talents and abilities. And He desires that each one of us use these talents and these abilities to His name's honor and glory. And that teaching is found in one of the parables, isn't it? A parable that we oftentimes refer to as the parable of the talents. We might subtitle this particular parable, and it might be something like this: the parable of potential, realized and hidden. Tonight we direct your attention to this particular parable. We could spend about an hour and 15 minutes and cover the entire parable, but we'll just spend a little bit of time and look briefly at the first two points of the parable. It's found in Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at verse 14. Verses 14 and 15 constitute the first section of this parable. I've entitled this section, "The Distribution of Assets." Notice how Jesus begins. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. And he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." There are 3 points that we want to make with regard to this particular section. Let's begin first by looking at the assets that are found in this particular section. Notice that the assets belong to a specific individual, do they not? The assets that are mentioned here do not belong to the servants. The assets belong to the Lord of the servants. The Bible says that He brought His servants to Him and delivered unto them His goods. The lesson is simple. God owns everything. You and I are not the owners of anything that we possess. Oh, we like to think we are, don't we? Somebody enters into our house and they try to take something that we have, and we let them know real quickly, don't we? That's mine. I've worked hard for that, and you're not going to take that from me. As if we did something to earn it and own it, folks. Everything that we have belongs to God the Father. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1, verse 17. The Apostle Paul understood this when he says, "Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I go out of the world." I brought nothing in, and I brought nothing out. They do not have hitches on hearses, do they? I've never yet seen a hearse drive into a cemetery with a U-Haul strapped on the back. Because you see, the moment you die, guess what? You have nothing. Why? Because nothing is yours. Everything that you have comes from God. Paul was right when he said, "Atop Mars Hill, for in Him we live and move and have our being." Acts 17, verse 29. You know, if we could get mankind to understand this one lesson, wouldn't there be some marvelous things transpire? First of all, we would not have individuals who are filled with pride and arrogancy over their riches and the accumulation of great wealth. Everyone would understand that things that I have are not mine, they are just God's. It is God who has blessed me. It is God who has enriched me. And when we must part with those goods, we'd have no trouble with that, would we? Because we would understand nothing that I own is my own. So the assets, first of all, belong to the Lord. Let's look secondly at the allocation of the assets. The Bible says that the Lord called His own servants and delivered unto them His goods. Now think about that. He takes His goods and He gives them to another individual. But folks, they still remain the Lord's goods. Yes, you and I have been given riches and wealth and prosperity and talents and abilities, haven't we? But even though we have them in our possession, they are not ours. You and I are only managers of the things God has given to us. Folks, you and I are superintendents. You and I are overseers. And it is our responsibility to do one thing, and that is to be faithful with what we have. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Everything that I possess is not mine. Everything that I have is the Almighty God's. And when I use it, I need to make certain that I am using it in a faithful, worthy manner before God. Let's talk about some other things with regard to this allocation. The Bible says, he called unto him his servants, plural, and delivered unto them his goods. Here's the lesson. Every servant got something. Not one of the servants that was called into the Lord's presence left the Lord's presence with absolutely nothing. Everybody had something. There is not a person in this audience who has not been in some way blessed by the Almighty God. Folks, God has distributed something, some talent, some ability into your care. And you are now not only the recipient, but the superintendent of that thing or things. Everybody has talents. But notice, secondly, there is a difference, is there not, in the amount of talents that were distributed. The text says, and unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Every member of the body of Christ has a different type of talent and a different degree of talent and a different number of talents. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, I may be a 1-talent man. And you may be a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5-talent individual. God has delivered different amounts of talents, different kinds of talents to different individuals. There's a reason for that, isn't there? It is that which creates diversity within the body of Christ. It is that diversity that helps the body to function as a body. Aren't you glad that your physical body is not just one big nose? I'm glad. How would you like for me, one big nose, to be talking to you, one big nose? Aren't you glad that your body is not just one big toe? That'd be worse than being a big nose, wouldn't it? And I tell you what, I'm certainly glad that I'm not just one big belly button. Aren't you? You see, our bodies are a diversity, and we thank God for that, don't we? It's not that we despise all of those things. We're glad to have all of those things. But we don't want to be just one of them. But now are there many members yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care one for another. That text is found in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 20. Folks, God understood what he was doing. I need different kinds of members serving in my body, and I've got to bring all of those individuals together in order to accomplish the mission and the task that I need done. So don't rejoice. Do not cry because you only have a few talents or your talents are different than somebody else's. Rejoice in your diversity and be glad about that. But notice also the why of that. The Bible says that God distributed to every man according to his several ability. Folks, God knows you better than you know yourself, doesn't he? He knows your intelligence. He knows your energy level. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. And He has blessed you with talents that will enable you to excel and will cause you to make the bride of Christ just as great as it can possibly be. God gave me exactly what I need, folks, according to my ability. So there's the distribution of the assets. In verses 16 through 18, we have a second section of the parable. And I have entitled it as follows: The Deeds of the Attendants. Listen to the text. Then he that had received 5 talents went out and traded with the same and gained other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. There are 3 different servants mentioned in the text, aren't they? And there are 3 actions about which we read from these particular servants. Let's start with the 5-talent man. Then he, which had received 5 talents, went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Folks, here's a man who understands the word responsibility, doesn't he? Here's a man who understands that the things that my Lord has given me, He expects me to use for His good and for His betterment. He is an example of what is said in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. And whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I am amazed at how hard and how diligent some individuals work on their jobs. And that's wonderful. I am amazed at how much effort individuals will give to their schoolwork. And that's fantastic. Sometimes it baffles me how hard a woman can work in the house doing her job in the house. And folks, that's fantastic, isn't it? But what about our labors in the kingdom? Here was a man who had received 5 talents, and the Bible says he went out and traded with the same. There was action, was there not? Here's my question. Why did he work so hard? Could it have been out of a sense of duty? Perhaps. Now, there's some individuals who have been reared and who have been trained that you do things because you're supposed to do them. You have a job, you have a responsibility, you have an obligation, and you need to fulfill that. And so, out of a sense of duty, they accomplished the task. I wonder, could it have been out of a sense of love and respect and honor for his employee that he labored with such diligence? He knew that he served a man of great power. He knew he served a man of great authority. He knew this man was a man of great wealth and riches. And yet this man had entrusted him with his goods. Wow, he loves me, he respects me so much that he's willing to give me these things. Now, in return, I'm going to work as hard as I can. Could it have been a combination of both? Perhaps. But I know this. The outcome for that man was a doubling of his talents. Wasn't it? And he made them other 5 talents. Here is a man given 5, and now he's worth 10. He's not boasting now that I'm a 5-talent man. He's boasting now that I am a 10-talent man. Wow, folks. Think about that. I'm just a little 5-talent man. Yes, you are, but you can be a 10-talent man. Isn't that a wonderful thought? But there was a second servant, was there not? Likewise, he that had received 2. A 2-talent man. Let me ask you a question. Did the 2-talent man grow angry because he had just received 2 talents? I'm so mad I could just spit. Well, what are you mad at? Well, my Lord brought us all together. You see that guy over there? He gave him 5 talents. And he just blessed me with 2 talents. And I'm just so mad now I can't hardly stand it. Is that the reaction of the 2-talent man? No. He's not angry. He's not upset. He's not depressed. He's not despondent. What does the Bible say? And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. Folks, here was a man who too understood his responsibility. It doesn't matter how much I've been given, it matters that I've been given. And I rejoice in that. And he is an example of Colossians 3, verse 23, is he? Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. My friends, the more you study the Bible, the more you comprehend the Bible, you want to know what the Bible says? You work while you're in this life with all your might. You work. And you do everything you possibly can for the Almighty God in His kingdom. That's our responsibility. That's why we've been given these talents and abilities before God Almighty. And the 2-talent man got it, didn't he? And guess what happened to him? He applied his talents and he doubled them, didn't he? He also gained other 2. Now remember the 5-talent man. He's not boasting about having 5 anymore, is he? No, he's boasting about being what? A 10-talent man. Now here's a man, all he was given was what? 2. And now what is he? I am a 4-talent man. Folks, that's a wonderful thing to comprehend. I can double my talents in the kingdom of God if I labor and apply those talents for God. Now look at verse 18. The third servant. You see the first word of that verse? But. Sometimes that is one of the saddest words in the Bible. It's a conjunction, isn't it? It joins two things together. But it is a conjunction of contrast, isn't it? Now remember, he's already told us about the 5-talent man. He's already told us about the 2-talent man. Now he's going to tell us about the 1-talent man. And he starts with the word, but. Everything this man is about to do is totally different from what those first 2 did. But the first 2 labored to produce, didn't they? This man is going to labor to protect. The first 2 individuals were willing to take huge risks. This man was going to play it safe. The first 2 were willing to make sacrifices. This man was willing to be satisfied, wasn't he? But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. I told you a while ago that once we get something, it's not ours, is it? Just because I have it in my possession does not mean it's mine. The text doesn't say he went out and hid his money. The text says he went out and hid his Lord's money. You know, there's some people today, even within the church, who would think that this was a wise man. You know it? I'm serious. And you might say, well, why would they think he's such a wise man? Because he was careful. Because he was content. Because he was cautious. And because in some ways he was very conservative, wasn't he? I've sat in some elders and men's meetings with men who had a mindset of the one talent man. You know it. Oh, let's not risk anything. Let's not step out there with a little faith. We've got what we've got. And we need to be careful. We need to be cautious. We need to be very, very conservative and not lose anything. Man, have I heard that in some meetings. You know that? But folks, every one of us have to be careful, don't we, about becoming one talent people. God has blessed me to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where my talents and my abilities lie. Now, some of you may doubt that. But that's what I think anyway. And I know some preacher friends of mine who have been blessed to be preachers. But folks, guess what they act like? They act like one talent men. They come into the congregations and they grow satisfied and content with the way things are. They don't strive to push themselves. They don't strive to develop themselves. They do not strive to enlarge themselves at all. They're just content. And 30 years from now, they'll be just what they are today. And that's sad. And yet, cannot the same thing happen to elders, to deacons, to Bible class teachers, to members? Isn't it funny that you can see somebody 20 years from now, and guess what? He's just doing what he used to do 20 years ago in the kingdom. Really? You haven't increased your talents. You haven't increased your abilities. You haven't done anything. What have you done? Have you just hid your talent? You see, this man was apathetic, folks. And his apathy caused him to dig into the earth, didn't he? Here's something we need to understand. Satisfaction and contentment do not constitute faithful service to our Lord. I find it very interesting that this man is not engaging in outright evil, is he? He doesn't squander the money. He doesn't steal the money. He doesn't just go out and just give it to somebody frivolously and let it be gone from him. Oh no. He's very cautious. He digs in the earth and plants that money in the ground. He knows exactly where it is, doesn't he? Nothing bad. Just no activity. You're fortunate tonight, aren't you? There's a whole bunch more of this parable to go. But you're not going to hear it tonight. Because there's too much. You'd be here past 6 o'clock and you'd just go bonkers. So next Sunday evening, we're going to talk about the second section. What have we learned tonight? Number one, the Lord owns it all, doesn't he? And he's distributed unto us wonderful assets, wonderful talents, and abilities. Secondly, we've learned that as servants of God, we have a choice as to what we're going to do with those talents, don't we? I can go out and work, I can go out and labor and toil, and I can double those talents, or I can be just as apathetic about this talent and just go and hide it in the earth if I want to. Can I? Here's my question to you. Because you see, do you remember how the Lord started the parable? For the kingdom of heaven is likened to. Folks, he's talking about the church. That's the specific application. In the church, I've given people talents, and I expect them to do things with those talents in the kingdom. And the question is simply this: which servant am I? That's important. And next week, we'll see just how important it really is. Are you working and laboring in the kingdom of God? We sing a song, don't we? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Are you working? Are you laboring? Using your talents? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're a Christian who's grown apathetic. You've gone and hid your talent. Folks, go dig it up. Go dig it up before the Lord comes again, right? This Lord is left on a far journey, but he's coming again, isn't he? He's made that promise. He's coming again. And we need to be ready when he comes. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're not a Christian, we want you to be tonight. The Bible teaches us very plainly what we need to do, doesn't it? We do exactly what those individuals did on the day of Pentecost. They heard the gospel, Acts 2:22. They believed and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Acts 2:37. Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Won't you gladly receive his word and be baptized and allow him to add you to the church, Acts 2:41, Acts 2:47. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as we stand in